The theme from the Monkees in the Electric Ballroom. Keith Roth hanging out with my good buddy Mark Voger, who released an unbelievable book this past week called Groovy. You'll feel like you're back in 60s culture.
That's what I'm trying to do, you know? It covers the whole thing. Like, it didn't start like with the Big Bang. It started kind of like slowly, like little things here and there. I mean, well, for one thing, the kaleidoscope came out in the 19th century, and the term groovy was coined by jazz musicians in the 1920s. We stole so much from those guys.
They really laid the foundation.
Yeah, and for rock and roll itself, mm-hmm. really. You know, LSD was born in the late 30s, 1938. So, like, little things happened along the way. I always think that the moment when it began was when the Beatles stepped off the tarmac, onto the tarmac, rather, when they landed at JFK in February of 64. They weren't groovy yet. They weren't wearing their Sgt. Pepper uniforms. But they had what the takeaway for all the square adults, all the, stand-up comedians and columnists and, you know, parents were all saying, they have long hair. And, of course, Keith, when you look at the Beatles' hair in 1964, it's like an inch over their ears, you know. But that's where it began.
If one of those guys came to my house, you know, to visit one of my daughters, I'd be happy to see someone not looking like me, but looking like the Beatles in 64 when they landed at JFK, I think. Most parents would kind of fantasize about that. You know?
Yeah, and then, of course, by the time you get to Abbey Road, like, John Lennon looks like Jesus. You know, or
my favorite record, by the way.
Oh, that's your favorite?
I think, yeah.
Mine, weirdly, is Let It Be, because that's where I came in. Nobody picks Let It Be, nobody. But I
love the album.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Love the album. One thing that you capture in the book, which is really cool, is some of the groovy movies that came out back in the 60s.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, some obvious examples are, Yellow Submarine, of course,
right.
Is extremely psychedelic, and that was just like the Beatles needed a rest. They were trying to get their heads together. They wanted to study under the Maharishi Yogi, and so they didn't even voice their characters, which I've always disappointed me. You know, I wish they had more of
Mission
a stake in it. Yeah, but Easy Rider is another one. Like, I didn't put any biker movies or motorcycle gang movies in Groovy because those had a lot of violence, but I wanted it to still be sort of like, you know, peacenik kind of thing. But Easy Rider, that's a hippie movie. I mean, those guys are not in a motorcycle gang, Peter Fonda and Dennis Hopper. They're hippies on bikes, you know, and of course
exploring the country.
Yeah, and it captured, there was all that thing about, are you a hawk or are you a dove, and it captured that. Hopper used locals, you know, he'd always prefer to use locals that are not non-actors rather than, you know, local actors, and he got some really, you know, wild performances, like the guy in the cat cap who says, mm-hmm. like, they look like they're going to kiss each other, you know, and all that, and then the guy who with the goiter on his neck who finally shoots them at the end, you know. Sorry to spoil the movie. But then there's
I think most ballroom listeners have seen that.
There's a lot of other
Karen Black is great in that too.
Yeah, Karen Black and Tony Basil, you know.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, Oh Mickey, You're So Fine.
Yeah, Oh Mickey, You're So Fine. And it looks great in fishnets as a hooker, you know.
Absolutely. She looked good in the 80s too, by the way.
She looked fine in the 80s, you know. I was down with that. I would have torn that stuff up. But and then like movies like Psych Out and Wild in the Streets. And
Wild in the Streets, one of my favorite movies. That was a great soundtrack. And Shelley Winters was in it.
Shelley Winters played his mom.
He takes over the world. I mean, it's one of the best revolutionary 60s film, Wild in the Streets, great soundtrack.
And even a movie like...
Blow Up was great.
Blow Up is mentioned, but I don't cover it as much, but that is a very psychedelic movie.
The Yardbird scene.
Performance.
Oh, performance.
Yeah. The Yardbird scene, sure. It's like Jeff Beck once told me they wanted The Who. But they had to settle for the Yardbirds. So they said, we want you to break your instruments, you know. They didn't usually do that, but there they are, like, smashing their instruments like Pete Townsend, you know. But
Jimmy Page did a nice job at that.
You know, you got Jimmy Page and Jeff Beck on the stage. I mean,
Jimmy was playing bass in the film, right?
Yeah. It's wild.
Keith Ralph.
Yeah. It's just a wild sequence, and there's so much great fashion and color in that movie. And The Riot on Sunset Strip is another great psychedelic movie. Head by the Monkees is, like, incoherent and psychedelic.
And you mentioned performance. Wild in the Streets, performance, Head, all the soundtracks that accompanied these films was, I know it's a buzzword, iconic.
Yeah.
Iconic. You had to have them both.
Yeah, and they are like time capsules of the period, you know, like, and there's even like corny ones, like Bob Hope made a groovy movie, actually Bob Hope and Jackie Gleason, and they had like Professor Irwin Corey playing a parody of the Maharishi Yogi called the Baba Ziba. Mm-hmm. It's just hilarious. They had a real group called the Comfortable Chair playing themselves. Just nutty stuff, you know. And then Bob Hope and Mutton Chop Sideburns and a Neighbor Jacket in a hippie club saying, like, oh, I thought that was a girl, you know, like all that kind of crazy stuff.
You see, and as you're talking about this, you could feel how this culture, you know, the 60s psychedelic is embedded in you. So, you know, everybody pick up the book Groovy. It is really awesome. You really feel like back in the spirit of the 60s. Keith Roth hanging out with Mark Voger, brought an unbelievable playlist, played White Room before. Why don't you pick the next one?
I'd like to play Time of the Season by the Zombies. It's amazing because it came off of their very last album, Odyssey and Oracle, and they actually broke up before the album even came out. The album came out. It's a psychedelic masterpiece recorded at Abbey Road on some of the same equipment with some of the same engineers that were on Sgt. Pepper's. And the weird thing, Keith, is that this song was an unlikely choice for a single. It's one of those things where a DJ found it and it got response and then it went out as a single. It was a huge hit in 1969, but the Zombies were dead. There was no band to tour behind this amazing song.
So the record came out and they didn't get a chance to tour it? Because
No. Rod Argent says he was negotiating his contract for the band Argent, and then when Time of the Season was such a huge, it was number one in 69, it helped him negotiate his contract. But it's a great, great song, and it came out by accident almost.
I know they're nominated for the Hall of Fame this year.
Oh, yeah. They
should be in the Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, their song, She's Not There, it came out in 64, and it sounds like it came out in 68. You know, it's just ahead of its time. You know, owing a lot to the genius keyboards of Rod Argent, but the band itself and their arrangements and their passion, you know, it's just, the Zombies are the stuff.
Time of the Season, Mark Voger, my co-host here in the Electric Ballroom.